As we look at the scriptures, let's first ask God's blessing in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we look to your word, we're thankful that you have given us your word, that you're not silent, but that you have caused men to write the scriptures and given them, preserved them to this day, that we might follow them and be careful to hear your word and obey. Lord, give us understanding then as we look at the matter of deacons this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday, we were looking at Paul's instructions about elders. But the church is blessed when it's led by faithful, godly elders. But the church is also blessed when it's led by and has faithful deacons. You heard that we're to nominate men for offices of elders and deacons. And so it's a good time to think about what kind of elders should we have? What kind of deacons should we have? Who should be nominated? Who should serve in these particular offices? But I'm going to ask this morning if the deacons that are here would please stand for a minute. Are there other men who have served as deacons who are not deacons at the present time that are here? All right, these are the men that the Lord has called to serve here in this congregation. Elders and deacons serve for 3-year terms, and their terms are ended at 3 years, but they can be reelected and continue to serve. The elders are supposed to be looking over and overseeing the spiritual leadership of the congregation, the deacons, particularly to minister the grace and the love of Jesus Christ, to see the needs of God's people and to encourage them in these areas, and to lead the congregation. And so what we're going to say about deacons, especially that the deacons listen, although everybody else is to listen as well. You may be seated. As I mentioned, we're looking at 1 Timothy chapter 3, and last Sunday we looked particularly at what it said about elders, and today then about deacons. In preparing this sermon, I was looking on the internet and found a message by Jeff Thomas. He's a graduate of Westminster Seminary in Philadelphia, and he is a pastor in the country of Wales. And he had a sermon on about elders and deacons, and I just wanted to read the first paragraph. He writes, "The two offices in Christ's church are the elders and the deacons. That is literally old men and servants, or the mature men and the servers. These are the offices Christ insists on giving the congregation. Look into any gospel church, whatever label, and there you'll find them. They're welcoming you at the door. They've been at the church half an hour before it started, checking on the heat and making sure everything was in order. Their voices are heard at the lifted to God in prayer meeting. It's their covenant giving week by week which supports the church's activities. They support the pastor with their warm words of appreciation. It's their encouragement that keeps him active in the ministry. They visit the sick, bring infirm to the meetings, then write letters to those on the mission field. Often their children themselves come to faith in Christ and are following with their parents in love for the kingdom of God. Such old men and servants are the heart and backbone of every true church. Mature, faithful men and women, those who love the Lord, those who give themselves in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have a heart for God's people, who are committed to the truths of the gospel. There can never be enough of those within the church of Jesus Christ. For those are the ones who help to guide, sustain, and of course it's by God's grace, but through them God works in very many ways. So this morning we want to look particularly at the deacons. And notice first of all the deacon and his ministry. The word deacon literally means servant. The word is used widely to describe not only the office of deacon, but really all Christians. Jesus says in Matthew 26, or 20 verse 26, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. The same word is deacon. You can say everyone should be your deacon. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to be a deacon, to give his life a ransom for many. Peter tells the Christians, live as deacons, live as servants of the Lord. So we ought to be seeing not just men in office, but also those in serving the Lord, every one of us, a servant who waits on tables, who does the will of the Master, who ministers to the needs of others. A deacon is, first of all, then one who serves. The elder is the overseer. The deacon is the server. Remember how the office of deacon came to be. The early church in Jerusalem, the people were being added to the church so regularly that the apostles were finding it difficult to keep up with everything. They were teaching, instructing. They were ministering some to the widows, but there were widows that were being neglected. And so it was shown to them that they needed to choose some men to meet the basic needs. They were chosen to be in charge of those needs and to minister to the widows that were being neglected, so that the apostles could give them and the elders could give themselves to the work of prayer and preaching of the word. And so deacons were ordained to minister then to the needs of the people. The deacons are to take a lead in this ministry. Every one of us, you might say, James 1 tells us, we are all to be deacons, 1:27. Religion that God the Father accepts as true and faultless is this: to look after the orphans and widows, and to keep oneself from being polluted or from being unspotted by the world. So that should be the attitude of every Christian. To look around, who are those that are in need? How can we be of help and encouragement to them? How can we be responsible? And yet the deacons are most responsible for this, and to see and encourage the others in the congregation. I found an interesting comment by someone in the early church, or not in the church, outside the church, but about the church. He's writing this. He says, "Let us consider that nothing has contributed so much to the progress of the superstition of Christianity as their charity to strangers. They establish hospitals in every place. It would be a shame for us to abandon our poor while the Jews have none, and those Galileans provide not only for their poor, but for others also." One of the marks of the early church and over the years has been that the church is interested in and been reaching out to those in need and ministering to them. Now, the word deacons then applies to all who serve, as I mentioned. Paul himself says that he was a diakonos, a servant of the gospel. About Jesus, it said that he was a deacon. "I tell you that Christ has become a deacon or a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's word." See, there's no conflict between being a leader and a servant. In fact, sometimes we talk about servant leaders, that if you're a leader, you ought to be the one who serves just as Christ, who is our leader, who is our head, who is our Lord, who is also a servant. In Romans 15, verse 1, it talks about Phoebe. And Phoebe is a woman who served in the church and who was a great help to many, including Paul. It talks about diakonos. Phoebe was a diakonos. Now, it's not clear to say that she was a deacon. Some would say she was a deaconess. But certainly she served actively and faithfully, and she was known for her servings. So that's the office of deacon. Now, secondly, notice the deacon and his character. Chapter 3, verse 8 points out that a man is to be upright in character and integrity with God, worthy of respect. You know, all of us have people who come to mind when you talk about who do you respect. When you see people who have been faithful in very many things, they've been in difficult circumstances, yet they've shown wisdom and perseverance. Persistence and honesty and honor. Now, they demonstrate what it means to be a Christian in difficult circumstances. You say, there is a faithful man. There is a faithful servant. On the other hand, you've seen others who in difficult times are ready to lie to get out of a tight spot, ready to cheat somebody else or run away from responsibility and problems. And you lose respect for that kind of a person. Well, we want deacons that we don't lose respect for, but have respect for. Nobody is without fault. If you're going to look for somebody with no sin, no faults, then you have to look elsewhere besides in the church and outside, of course, even as well. But we're bound to find people letting us down. And yet day in, day out, when you observe a person faithful, consistent in the faith, faithfulness to responsibility, you respect that person. You say, here's one that I would see as one could be a leader in the church in this area. You respect the person who pays off a debt when he could just easily cancel it or declare bankruptcy. You respect somebody who takes in foster children or who takes in a parent or who commits to helping someone. And you say, there's a faithful, responsible person. Those are the kind that we want to see. And so deacons, when we're choosing them, they should be men who are worthy of respect. Secondly, it says they should be sincere. Literally means they should not be double-tongued. You know, sometimes we say that man speaks out of both sides of his mouth. On the one hand, he says something to someone who he agrees, when he knows that's what they want to hear, then somebody else will say something different. Or he'll say something to somebody directly, and then behind their back, he'll say something else. You say, well, here's a double-tongued man. John Bunyan, you remember him who wrote Pilgrim's Progress? He writes of a town called Fair Speech. He said there were people with names there that lived there with names like Lord Turnabout, Lord Time Server, Mr. Smoothman, Mr. Facing Both Ways, Mr. Anything, and the parson of the parish, Mr. Two Tongues. See, God's people must be sincere and speak the truth. Our yes should be yes, and our no, no. Deacons especially, as they're dealing with people in needs, struggling with different problems and troubles in the family, it's important that a deacon speaks kindly, truthfully, that he doesn't belittle people who are in need, doesn't spread the knowledge of the problem to others, doesn't speak ill of those who need help, saying and running them down. Instead, he must sincerely show the love of Jesus Christ. It says also that he's not to be indulged in much wine. Same is said about elders, not given to drunkenness. Clearly, this was a problem in those days. Too much drinking, too much drunkenness. But it's a problem in our day as well. We all read about the DUIs that are given out regularly. We listen to the commercials and tell us about all the attractions of the liquor, and the stores and taverns are everywhere. The weekend parties at the colleges where young people get into trouble. Well, you don't want to choose a man who has a problem with alcohol. You don't want to choose a man who is even occasionally falling into this particular sin. You want someone, rather, who is sober and faithful in these areas, not pursuing dishonest gain. Money is necessary for all of us. If we're going to take care of our families, if we're going to live day by day, a man with no income will soon be dependent upon others. So we expect a man to proceed with gainful employment. He should have sufficient income. He should be able to build up some savings, and this would recommend a man for the office. On the other hand, he should not be pursuing dishonest gain. This is warned against. One who cheats, one who is dishonest, there's no place then in the office of a deacon. Dishonest gain might be not paying taxes. It might be working in a job that promotes immorality. Deacon is involved in handling money, helping others with money, managing money. He needs to be a person then who shows compassion and is ready to give to needs. Well, the elder, it says, he must not be a lover of money. This, because attitudes toward money, toward material things, are so distort our society and our lives that this is mentioned both with elders and deacons. While specific things are mentioned, and we could go more into detail, it's certainly saying here that we want a sincere Christian men whose lives reflect the faith. And in fact, we should want to look at the deacon and his faith. Verse 9, deacons must hold to the deep truths, to the mysteries of the faith with a clear gospel. These are offices we're talking about, not just social offices, but offices within the Church of Jesus Christ, among those who have been born again by the Spirit of God, those who love and follow and obey their Savior. And so deacons are to provide leadership in this ministry. Sometimes you might pick a man who just is gifted in organization and administration. He's one who knows how to take care of things, and he's regularly in church, and say, well, here's a good man. Well, these are important things. But it isn't just natural gifts. It's spiritual gifts that are needed. We need to have men who love the Lord. We need to have men who understand His Word, who are trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when it was the first deacons that chosen in Acts 6, men filled with the Spirit, it says, men full of wisdom, full of faith. When we read in the Bible about mysteries, it's not talking about those hard things that only a few of us understand. No, we're talking about those things who at one point were not revealed, but through the period of time God revealed them. In the Old Testament, there were a lot of things that weren't understood very clearly. They understood about the grace of God, but it wasn't known that God would clearly, it was said, but not known clearly, that God would come in our flesh, that Christ would suffer and die on the cross, that he would rise again the third day. All of these things were in the Old Testament, but they were not clearly written as we know and understand in the New Testament. it wasn't clear that the gospel would be preached to all the world and that the Gentiles, even more than the Jews, would be brought into the kingdom. So Paul, when he writes in Ephesians, he says, it was by the revelation of God made known to me the mystery which in other ages was not made known. So today we understand the things that even the prophets and the leaders in the Old Testament didn't understand because God has revealed them more plainly in Jesus Christ. And so deacons then are to know, understand the teachings of God's Word. They are to understand about Christ and our salvation. You'll notice, and you may have noticed, that the deacons are asked to take the same oaths, the same vows that are made by the elders and even by the pastors. Do you believe the doctrines of the Christian faith as set forth in the Scriptures and in the confession and catechisms of this church? Deacons, the qualifications for spiritual understanding of deacons isn't less than say, well, they're not ready for elder, but they can serve for deacon for a while, and then maybe they'll serve for elder. No, the ones for deacons should be those who have a special compassion, a special ability for ministering to the needs of others. They have a deacon's heart. And if you see those men who have such a heart, those are the kind of men that we want in the office of deacon. The deacon must do this then with a clear conscience. He can't have reservations about his faith. Well, I can say I believe in the confession of faith, but I don't believe this and I don't believe that. No, we'd be convinced that the Bible is the Word of God. We need to be convinced that Jesus is really the Son of God, that He's the only way of salvation. These are convictions that deacons must hold. Obviously, deacons need to be skilled in the Christian faith because they're dealing with people who are struggling. When you're going through problems, many times there's questions about why is these things happening? Did God really love me? Does God care about me? How come I'm in such struggles and so many problems in my family? How come there's sickness and death and loss of job? And when people have questions about this, the deacons are there to encourage them, to remind them of what God's word promises are, to encourage them and give them the comfort that God would have them. So deacons, in addition to doing their, ministering to needs, are there to give counsel and advice from God's word and to strengthen God's people. And if people that we're working with are not Christians, then the deacon shouldn't just give them a check or bring them some food or helping them with a particular problem, but should make sure that we're showing that this is from Jesus Christ and help them to understand that they need to know the truth of the faith. For deacons are ministers of God's word as well as ministers of His love and grace. So we're told then, you look at a man's record. It says, deacons must, verse 10, he must first be tested. Men shouldn't be put on the office too quickly. They should be known, their lives examined, their reputation should have the respect and confidence of God's people, and then they're ready for serving in these. After you get to know a man and gain respect for him, then you ought to consider him for elder or for deacon. And fourth, then, we are told to look at the deacon's family, the deacon and his family. In the same way, verse 11, their wives are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. You should know that the word translated wives could also be translated women. And some would emphasize that. There's a footnote in the NIV talking about deaconesses, women meaning women deacons. Truth is, it could be correctly translated women. So this has led to three views. There's some who think that it should be translated women, and since you're talking about deacons, that it implies that women also could be deacons or deaconesses. And yet we know from 1 Timothy 2 to verse 12, and we looked at that a few weeks ago. But anyway, a woman is not to teach or have authority over a man. In other words, a woman shouldn't be an elder. But those who take this view say that they're not to be elders, but women could be deacons. A second view is that there's a separate office. There's a deacon and a deaconess, and each one is pretty much the same, but each office is separate. The third view understands this to be a reference to deacons' wives, and it can be translated wives. Deacons' wives are often involved in ministry. When a deacon gets involved in somebody's helping somebody, usually this involves encouragement, and especially when it's widows or children, that their wives get involved in these ministries as well. And in fact, they can be much help to the in widows and orphans or helping for the poor. And so it's this understanding of the text, wives as over against women deacons, that the church generally has held to, at least the OPC has held to that. See, besides, the very next verse says a deacon must be the husband of one wife. So that would clearly imply that deacons are to be men. But then consider what it says about the wives of deacons. Consider how a wife can strengthen her husband's ministry, and on the other hand, how she can be a hindrance to his ministry as well and hurt it. Wives are to be a woman of respect, temperate, trustworthy in everything. She, like her husband, is to be worthy of respect in the faith, well thought of in the church, both trusted in every way. One of the words there is she must not be a malicious talker. The Greek word is diabolos, which is connected to diabolical or devil, devilish. The wife should not be a she-devil, not hurtful with the tongue, not critical, cutting, tearing down. Now, of course, that's true for everyone, but particularly or every Christian, but particularly for the work of deacons. Because the deacon often involves personal and sensitive situations. So as the deacon gets involved, and maybe his wife is careful, helping with them, that be careful how you talk about these people and the needs. It's easy to disrespect somebody who we think, well, because of their foolish actions, because of their foolish choices, has gotten them into this trouble. And so after helping them, we go around talking about what they should have done, why they did this, and so on. But we'll be careful then how we minister the love of Christ. The deacon and his wife can work well together. Many deacons have been more effective because they've had faithful wives. And there are those, too, who have struggled because of problems with their wives. That's true, I suppose, the other way around as well, but particularly talking here about deacons. And two, it mentions the deacon's children. They also demonstrate a readiness for a man to serve as deacon. When his children are well behaved, when they are learning to know the Lord and to respect God's laws and God's ways, this encourages us to consider him for a deacon. So we're talking about wives and children and family, all of the responsibilities reflecting the character and the gaining the respect of God's people. In conclusion then, first, the faithful deacon will enjoy God's blessing. Verse 13 says, those who have served well gain an excellent understanding and great assurance in their faith. If you serve well, you gain. That's true, of course, of all of us who serve the Lord, not just deacons. That if you serve well, if you're faithful, the Lord blesses. And whatever capacity, whether it's deacons, elders, whether it's Sunday school teachers, organists, whether it's ushers or janitors, in whatever situation, serve faithfully, you gain. Our focus, however, should not be on reward. If I do this, God was going to do this and this and this for me. Our focus should be on the honor it is to serve the Lord. Isn't it a blessing that all that God has done for us, that we can, in some ways, in some small ways, serve Him? But when, in helping and in serving, we find that we gain as well as the person that we're ministering to. It's more blessed to give than to receive. You receive more blessings when you give than when you receive. And this is of God's pattern. Now, our text tells us well that you'll gain an excellent standing in the church. There's a book entitled In Search of Excellence, and it was published in 1984. It's basically saying in business, there are different qualities that make a good business. Leaders actually did things rather than talking about them. Leaders stayed close to the people they served. Leaders concentrated on a few people and really helped them. Leaders stuck to what they believed and knew best. Leaders had an overall dedication to the values that people held. Now, a church isn't a business, and say, well, if we just apply business principles, and yet these things are true. It's true that as we serve the Lord and we're faithful and we minister to people, if we show our character and people respect us, that there is a place of excellent standing among God's people. The other benefit is not only that you have a standing or a place among God's people, but there's also a great assurance of the faith. Assurance is something that many people struggle with. If somebody is struggling, am I really a Christian? Am I what I ought to be? One of the ways that we learn that is from God's Word, gain that assurance. It says that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved, you and your house. That's a promise. We have God's Word for it. Whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. So God gives us assurance through the Scriptures. But he also gives us assurance when we're faithful to him. When we do his work, his spirit, in a sense, with our spirit, confirms that, yes, indeed, these things are true. We find that we experience God's blessing. And that's a reward here, it says, of deacons. When the deacons are busy serving the Lord and being faithful, the Lord gives them great assurance in the faith. God blesses service. God blesses obedience. He blesses genuine faith. In service, great assurance is received. For the work of elders then, deacons and pastors, all of it involves effort. And yet, it brings us into areas that overwhelm us. But when we do this, God is there with us. And his name and honor is glorified. So this morning, as we think about deacons, as we ourselves want to have the attitude of a deacon, of a servant, may the Lord bless our deacons and guide us in our choice and grant that we might be known as those who care for those in need, not just those within that come into this building, but those around us that the Lord brings into our lives that we might honor and glorify him.